We have a ton of ground to cover here this morning, so I want to get right at it. If you could, that's good. You're doing good. For those of you who may be here for the first time this morning, we've been involved in a series called Amazed. And the whole purpose of the series that we're doing is to kind of refresh our hearts rather than getting caught in the rut of the mundane of life, refreshing our hearts concerning how great God is. And we've been looking at a number of different things to substantiate that. We've been using this idea of stopping and considering the wonders of God. You know, we are just so on the move, right? We're just going all the time that we don't ever stop and just contemplate and think about how awesome, how mighty, how incredible God is. And so we've been trying to do that from week to week. When we've been here, we've been stopping and considering the wonder of God. And one of the primary places that he calls us to do that is to take a fresh look at his creation, that which he has made with such intricacy and detail that's meant to, it's really meant for us when we see it, we're supposed to go, wow, right? Like last week, we talked about that worm. The whole point of that is to say, oh, wow, right? Like, whoa, right? Rather than whatever, you know, because that's kind of like life. Life is kind of like whatever. And what we're trying to do is kind of re-shock our hearts. Like the God that we love, the God that we're serving is so much grander and bigger than I think we realize as we go through life. So we've been looking at we took a week, we kind of looked at some different animals. We took a week and we looked at the human body. We took a week last week and looked at a worm. And we've been just looking at some different things. And if you remember the very first week, I started with you in this passage in Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to invite you with me to now turn our look towards the skies, towards the universe, towards the system that we find ourselves living in. But before we do that, I want to talk about this word glory for just a minute. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. The Hebrew word is the word kabab. It should be an easy one for you to remember, like shish kebab, right? It's the word kebab, but it literally means weight or heaviness. So if you were to read this passage, you would say, the heavens declare the weight or heaviness of God. Now, there's two ways to look at weight and heaviness, and the actual Hebrew word is used in a couple different ways. One way that it gets used is in the sense of being a burden. Like if you ever had a burden on your heart or a burden on your life and you just feel the weight of that, right? You feel weighed down. You feel strapped down. You just feel the intensity of that. But it's in a negative sense. It's in a weighty way, but we don't necessarily interpret it as a good thing. But there's another way to look at this word glory, this idea of weight or heaviness, and that has to do with the value or importance of something. Like we even say it this way, well, that's a real heavy matter, or it's a weighty thing, right? That's the idea behind this word glory. And so what God is saying, it's that latter idea that's being presented here. He's saying the heavens declare the glory, the weight, the heaviness of God, and it's an important deal. Right? It's a big deal. It's something important that he wants you to see. It's something important he wants you to understand. So this morning, with that idea in mind, I want us to take a look if you will, with me at how God has kind of put things together. Now, I want to start out, this is going to sound really weird, but I want to start out talking to you about something, if I can get this thing to work, here we go, called the Goldilocks Principle. The Goldilocks Principle. This is actually what science calls it. It's not what I'm calling it. It's what science calls it. It's the Goldilocks Principle. Now, have you all heard of the story of Goldilocks before? Well, if you haven't, let me remind you of the story. There were these three bears, right, that had a home out in the deep forest. And one day they decided to, after they made their porridge, they decided to go on a little adventure out in the forest. While they're gone, a little girl named Goldilocks comes upon their home. Goldilocks goes into the house. You know the story, right? She sees some porridge. That's the first thing she spies out, is some porridge. And she went and took a taste of the porridge. And the first one she tasted was what? It was too hot. So she tasted the next one, and the next one was too?
Cold.
It was too cold. See, you know the story. Then she tasted the third one, and the third one was?
Just right.
Remember that phrase. Just right. Then she goes to their chairs, and she sits in the first one, and it's too big. She sat in the first one, and the chair was too big. She went to the second chair. She sat in the second chair. The second chair was too big. No, it was too big. That's a story. I went back and read it. I said, I got to make sure I got this right. She went to the second chair. The second chair was too big. She went to the third chair, and the third chair was
just right.
Then she went to their upstairs. She laid down in the first bed, and the first bed was too
high.
You got it. She went to the second bed, and the second bed was
too soft.
She laid down in the third bed, and it was
just right.
See, you know the story. She falls fast asleep in the third bed. She's awakened by three bears staring at her. The story ends with her being afraid and running out of the house, never to return to the house again. But the reason I'm telling you that story is this scientific principle. They call it the Goldilocks principle because it's based on that story. That our world, our universe, our solar system, our earth is
just right.
It is said by many Christian apologetics, those people that do that stuff. It's said by them that this is the best argument that you and I as Christians have about the existence of God. So hopefully I'm going to teach you something this morning. Some things maybe you haven't heard before. I want to focus in on just this one idea, the Goldilocks principle. It has to do with things being this thing. Just right. Watch. It'll come up here someday. There it is. Just right. And the way they refer to it is finely tuned. Finely tuned. Now, does anybody know this date? Does anybody recognize this date? I'm just going to say go to the next slide because this thing's not working. Next slide, please. Quick. Anybody recognize this date, April 11th, 1970, at 2:13 p.m.? Anybody? Next slide. It was the launch of Apollo 13. This is the third mission to the moon. It was supposed to be anyways. But if you know anything about Apollo 13, there's a movie. I think Tom Hanks might have been in it. Somebody, is that right? I don't think I've ever seen it, but anyways, it's a movie about it. So anyways, they are 56 hours after launch. They're 56 hours in space, right? And something happens. Actually, an explosion occurred on board that knocked out an oxygen tank. It knocked out a couple fuel cells. And those famous words came over the radio to the place in Houston. And you all know what those words were, right? Houston, we have a problem. Right? Now, here, the reason I'm telling you this quick story is because that Apollo 13 aircraft was finely tuned. It was just right that it might be able to handle the conditions in space that, by the way, are very adverse in nature, right? It was finely tuned. And so when that explosion occurred and those words were spoken, it truly was a problem, because if it weren't for that spacecraft, those three astronauts would not be able to exist a millisecond outside of that finely tuned, perfect scenario, which they were, you know, they found themselves in the middle of space. Now, fortunately, those guys, I might even say miraculously, not fortunately, miraculously, those guys did make it back, right, from space. But it proved to us, it showed us, it was a demonstration that things have to be just right in order for people, in order for life to be viable and people to survive. Now, I want to start, next slide, I want you to think about this in terms of a tightrope walker, right? Like we had the people up in Niagara Falls here, the Valendas, something like that. And they were walking across. I found this picture, and I like this one better because I think it truly gives you a picture of there's, in a case of a tightrope, there's about one inch of rope that supports life, right? Either side of that rope, life is not viable. Like you go one way or the other, you're dead. Simple as that. And so as I talk to you about this stuff this morning, that's how I want you to think of it. If you go one way, a little bit, one way or the other, it cannot support life. Life would not exist. It wouldn't be viable even for a moment. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is our planet Earth. Go ahead, next slide. And I want to start by talking about, you know, every place has an atmosphere, right? Like your home has an atmosphere. Our church has a particular atmosphere. But our Earth has an atmosphere to it, right? And part of what goes into the makeup of the atmosphere is the various gases that you and I, now I'm not talking about the ones after beans, right? I'm not talking about those kinds, although that is one of the gases in our universe. But anyways, that's not the gas I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the other things that go into the makeup that you and I take for granted every day. We're just out there taking in all this stuff, not even thinking about it. But there's particular gases that surround the Earth. Now, I don't know if you, oh boy, it didn't show up hardly at all. But on the right is the Earth. On the left of you is Mars. On the top is the word oxygen. The next one is nitrogen. And then there is a host of other gases. I'll mention argon because there's at least a percentage that's measurable of that. But then there's a whole bunch of other ones, lithium, helium. So I can't even read it, right? And then over here are Mars. And what I want you to see is that Mars has a completely different atmosphere to it. Right? So it does have argon, which we have some argon in ours, but it has nitrogen, which we have nitrogen in ours, but there's carbon dioxide. Now, carbon dioxide for Mars is what it's primarily made up of. Now, here's what, a lot of times people think there's a lot of this speculation out there that there's Martians, there's people out there, so forth and so on. Well, if there are extra people living on Mars someplace, they're not like us. Because if they were like us, they couldn't survive on Mars. Why couldn't they survive? Because the gases, I'm gonna example this for you in just a second. The gases are entirely different makeup that would not allow our kind of life to exist on Mars. Are you with me? Let me take one for an example, oxygen. Like, if you haven't figured it out yet, you need oxygen to live. Word up, you need oxygen. Now, it's not just that you need oxygen, you need a certain percentage of oxygen to survive, right? In the general makeup of our gases and how things are put together, it's about 21% of our atmosphere is oxygen. And just ironically, that's what you and I need to live, right? If you take that gas, that oxygen gas, and you move it, remember the tightrope, remember? We're talking about walking a tightrope here. If you move that oxygen level percentage just a little bit one way or the other, guess what? You're dead. It doesn't work. For instance, if you dialed it down instead of 21% to 18%, do you know what would happen to us? We would suffocate. There wouldn't be enough oxygen to be able to breathe. We would simply suffocate. You know what would happen if we turned the oxygen up? Say like the 23% or 24%? We'd what? Nope. We wouldn't be able to survive because there would be fires burning out of control. There would be no way to support life because oxygen would be fueling fires that you and I couldn't even put out. Just that much difference in the percentage of oxygen, we wouldn't be able to survive. Are you with me? Okay, now, that's just, remember I said we got a lot of ground to cover. Okay, so that's just the idea of the atmosphere that surrounds Earth. But speaking of Earth, good, next slide, please. Did you know that we are just the right distance, next slide, we are just the right distance from the sun? You probably heard that before, right? It is not too hot, not too cold, just right. Just right. It's just the right distance from the sun. Now, what would happen if somehow we were just a little bit closer to Earth? For instance, our neighbor, Venus, at the surface of Venus, it is 700 degrees all the time. That's just our neighbor. Our neighbor in our solar system, Venus, 700 degrees its surface. It's closer to the sun. Now, how about Mars? Wait a second. I made sure I got it right. Which one? Yeah, that one. That one, whatever what somebody just said. That one, if you were to go the other direction, right, it's on the surface of that at its equator, it's like zero all the time, right? So if you take and you move the Earth a little bit one way or the other, it cannot support life as you and I know it. Now, why is that important? Now, it's not just a temperature thing. It's not just, whether it feels good or it doesn't feel good. There is a key reason why that is so vitally important. Where we are sitting in our solar system, in our distance from the sun, so incredibly important, and it has to do with this. Next slide, please. Somebody said it. I heard him say it. Water. Water. Water, in case you didn't know this, this is another bulletin, right? You need water to live. Got to have it. Not just for your shower this morning, but your body. You have to take in fluid, liquid, water. You got to have water just to survive. Now, why is the distance we are from the sun so incredibly unique to Earth that makes life viable the way we know it? Because Water, this is going to blow your mind. Water, the only place where water is found in all three of its states, put the next slide up. Next slide right there. By the way, I was supposed to say 70% of our earth is water, right? The surface of the earth is water. And that doesn't count for the water underneath the earth, which here in the area where we live, we drill down, you get some water out of the under earth, right? So there's a lot of water on earth. Next slide, please. So there's these three states of water: solid, liquid, and gas, right? So if you were too close to the sun, there wouldn't be any water because it's evaporating as fast. You know, it's just so, too hot. It's just, you got all the evaporation, right? If we're too cold, you wouldn't be able to support life because it's frozen, correct? So we're in just that right position that not only do we have liquid water, but we're in just the right condition that we can actually find all the phases of water in the way Earth is positioned. Now, why is that important?
We need water to survive.
You need water to survive. That's right. You need water to survive. But here's the really cool thing. Here is the really cool thing. Now, the makeup of water, every element, is what I read this week. I didn't even know this. I learned stuff this week. I went, oh, my God. I'm 58 years old, and I'm still learning some stuff, right? So I didn't know this, right? I'm going to tell you something I didn't know. Maybe you're all going to say, oh, I knew that a long time ago, right? So anyways, here's what I found out. I found out that the molecular structure of water is so cool, right? So because every other element, every other natural element that we know of, when something gets colder, oh, pay attention. When something gets colder, when it gets colder, does it get more dense or less dense? It gets more dense, right? Things, yes, no? Of everything else except
water.
Now, how do we know that? Go to the next slide. We know that because when you put ice in water, what's it do? Floats. If it sinks to the bottom, you did something wrong. Right? When it's in, when water, not the same for everything else, but water, when it gets cold and it appears to become more dense, it's actually become less dense, and we know that because it actually floats to the top of water. And you say, oh, wow, what's that have to do with anything? I'm about to tell you, right? Because here's the thing. If it got more dense and ice got heavier than the liquid, listen now. Oh, you're going to put it all together. It's coming right now. They're right here. It's close by, right? If it became more dense and it sank to the bottom of water, right? The bodies of water, don't think of the cup right now, but it sank to the bodies of water, what would happen? It would freeze and kill everything at the bottom of the water, eventually killing everything in the water because it would just keep building, right? Now, why is that important? Because over half of the oxygen that we get comes from the water. Oh, I told you. I told you, it just clicked right there, right? But God has made it so that it is just right. Just right. A little bit one way or the other, we don't survive. We don't exist. But he's made, you know, you should thank God for water and the way God made it. Not just that you have it, but the way that he made it, because it helps you stay alive. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Now, here we go. All right. How about this one? Next slide. How about the tilt of our earth? Whoa, you probably felt it when you got up this morning, didn't you? Whoa, no. Just kidding. We don't even know we're tilted, right? But our earth is tilted at just the right angle. Just the right angle. And now, why is that important, you say? It says, if the earth was not tilted, our equator and poles would be even more extreme temperatures than they are already. The equator would be cooked, and nobody could live there, and the poles would be frozen beyond the size that they are right now. Now, here's the important part I wanted to tell you. It's what regulates our tilt. Does anybody know what regulates our tilt? Besides Mr. Britton, don't answer. All right, we're tilted at just the right angle, and there's something that's holding that tilt for us. The moon. The moon is what keeps us tilted at the right direction. So when you look up and you see that moon in the sky at night, and you say, oh, wow, that's a beautiful moon. What you really need to be saying is, you're helping me stay alive. Yeah. Ron thought I was talking about his bald head. Anyways. Speaking of Earth, did you know that Earth has a liquid core? Now, I'm going to read this, what I copied off of something, because I don't want to get it wrong. It says, when the liquid core moves in the outer core, it produces a magnetic field. And as you know, magnets have the ability to either attract or repel, right? Yeah. Right? You probably did that as kids, right? Played with things like that. Now, why is that important? Well, this beautiful sun that we are just the right distance from, and we feel when it shows up here in Western New York, which isn't very often, but we look at it and say, oh, man, that feels really good. Little did you know that while that's happening, it's also throwing in our direction tons of radiation and junk that would literally obliterate us if it were not for what I'm about to tell you. This magnetic field in the inner core of the Earth creates a magnetic situation where instead of those rays coming and infecting unbelievable harm upon us, there's a picture of it, it's deflecting those rays or that junk, if you will, to the poles of our Earth. Are you there? Now, next slide. Does anybody know what this is called? Next slide, please. Does anybody know what that's called? Aurora Borealis or Northern Lights or whatever you want to call it, right? Yeah. The Northern Lights, why that's doing what it's doing is all that stuff that's getting deflected to the poles, that is the gases reacting to the debris that's coming into their field. So when you see the Northern Lights, which around here we don't get a chance to very once in a great while, right? But if you go to upper parts of Canada and things like that, it's a regularly, you know, people in Alaska and things like that, they're seeing them all the time. But when you see those, it's more than just saying, wow, that's really pretty. When you see those, you say, that's what's helping me stay alive. God's made this thing so that this field that we don't even know anything about and is happening is deflecting stuff that would cause us great harm to the outer poles of the Earth. Now, I want to move to our solar system for just a second. If you could go to the next picture. Right? All right. So everybody knows there's 8 planets now. When I was in school, there was 9. Pluto got demoted. It's a dwarf planet. Poor thing. Anybody know why he got demoted? What? No, he doesn't have his own orbit, right? So somebody decided since he didn't have his own orbit, he couldn't be a planet. So we kicked him out. He got defriended. On the Facebook of the solar system, he was defriended. I like you. We don't like you anymore. You're a dwarf. You're out there, right? Now, there's 8 planets. 4 of them they call rocky or terrestrial planets, right? Those are the you know, we're part of that. And then there's the 4 gas planets. If you're looking on the screen here, Jupiter's kind of in the middle there. And then you got Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and then you got Mars, Earth, Venus, and Mercury, right? So that's our solar system. And there's these eight planets. Now, why is that important? Why is it important where we are in relationship to those other planets? Those four big gas giants, the four to your right, as you're looking at the screen right now, why don't you just say with me, thank God for four gas giants. Very good. You need to thank God for those other gas giants that are out there, because those gas giants are helping us stay alive. Those four gas giants, the way their makeup is, because out here in space there's a lot of asteroids, there's a lot of debris, there's a lot of stuff going on, and those four gas giants, because of the way they're made up, they're acting like magnets to pull all of those things in so they don't hit you and I, right? God's made it that way. It's just right, right? But in fact, Jupiter, I wrote it down here. Jupiter's nickname, let me find it for you, is the cosmic vacuum cleaner. That's what he's called, for real. That's his nickname. His real name is Jupiter, but he's called the cosmic vacuum cleaner, right? So thank God for putting us next to, right, strategically, just right, positioning us next to these four big gas giants that are acting like big vacuum cleaners in our solar system. But let's go out a little bit further. Let's go to our galaxy, if you would. I'm trying to rush through this. All right, now you probably heard this before, that our galaxy, that's our galaxy, the Milky Way right there. And that thing is 100,000 light years wide. That's what they tell us, 100,000 light years. Now, I wrote this down. A light year is something you use. It's a way of measuring something when a 20-foot or, 25-foot tape measure won't work, right? So, anyways, here's what I found out. It's a way to measure things that are really big, light years, meaning light years. And our galaxy is 100,000 light years in diameter. If you do the math, that comes out to about 6 trillion miles in diameter. 6 trillion miles. That's a long ways by any measurement. And let me see. Oh, no. I said that wrong. Back it up. Take that off the tape. A light year is how far light travels in a year. And if you do the math, it comes out to 6 trillion miles in a year, right? So you got to multiply 6 trillion times 100,000. And if you do that, what you will come up with is six quintillion miles across. That for those of you who want to know what that looks like, that's 6 with 18 zeros after it, right? That's a long ways. Now, as it turns out, we are positioned in just the right place in our galaxy. If we were too close, if we were closer to the center of it, there is way too much debris and stuff and gamma rays and solar flares and all that stuff that we would just be obliterated. But, you know, just like that. If we were too far out in our solar system, there are none of the gases that you and I need, the atmosphere that we talked about, none of that is available to us. There'd be no more oxygen out there, for us to be able to live. Now, Discover Magazine, next thing here. Discover Magazine, which is it's not a Christian magazine. This is not a Christian magazine. It had as a headline in February 22nd, 2016, a magazine came out and said this: Earth may be a 1 in 700 quintillion kind of place. Now, why were they saying that? Why would they give those kinds of numbers? Because of what I'm telling you this morning. The odds or chances of us being where we're at in relationship to our neighbors, now I don't mean your neighbor down the street, I mean your solar neighbors, and the right atmosphere, it's just the chances of that happening by random It's unthinkable, right? It's non-comprehendable. It's so finely tuned. But I want to leave you. I want to leave you with this this lasting impression. I want you to imagine with me for just a moment that there is somewhere in the heavens a giant control room. Go to the next picture. A big control room in heaven, right? Now that, I just pulled that out. That's an old-fashioned control room right there. They don't look like that anymore, but you kind of get the idea, right? You see all the dials and the gauges and so forth and so on. Imagine one that controls the universe, right? And God's, you know, God's working the levers. God's up there taking care of it, right? Now, I want to dial in on one dial. So go to the next picture. We're going to call it the gravitational constant dial. This is part of that atmospheric situation that we have as we live here on planet Earth called gravity, right? Gravity, it's what's holding your butt in the seat right now, right? If there was no gravity, and it's also at just the right constant. Tom Voltasik was talking to me this morning. He was talking about when he kneels down, he's finding it harder and harder to get up again. Well, if there was a greater gravitational pull, it would make it all difficult for us to get up again. So thank God for just the right, you know, not too little and not too much. Just the right gravitational pull to make it so that we can do life here on planet Earth. Now, the percentages, let me see, the odds of having just the right gravitational constant, they call it, to support life is fine-tuned meaning just right, to 1 over the 40th power. Now, put that, yeah, there it is on the screen, right? We don't even know what to call that number. We don't even have a name for that number, right? That's what the random chance is of the gravitational pull being just right. Now, let's compare that. If you were, the chances of you getting hit by lightning are something like 1 in a million, right? The chances of you winning the lottery are like 1 in 260 million, something like that, here in America anyways, right? The chances of you getting hit by lightning, surviving, and getting hit by lightning and surviving again is like one in a billion, right? That's the odds. I'm talking about just this one dial of one aspect of our system here that God has set in place being what it is. The chances of that are 1 over the 40th power. One in, we don't even know what to call it, number, right? Now, let's try to put that in just a little bit of perspective here. Go to the next slide. Next slide. All right, there's on your, what would it be? On your left is the North American continent, right? America, Canada, part of Central America, so on and so on. North American continent. Now, the chances of things, remember, we're just talking about the gravity, the constant regulated force of gravity on planet Earth. The chances of that being what it is, right, is that astronomical number. Now, here, to way to illustrate that is if you took dime, if you took a dime, let me see if I have a dime. I got one. Here it is. If you were to take dimes, right, and cover all of North America, and you colored one of the dimes red, let's say, or you painted it a color, and I said to you, you need to find that dime covering all of North America, what would you say about that? It's impossible. Now, I'm telling you what, remember that number? I'm illustrating the number for you. Okay, so take dimes, cover all of North America. We've got one we've got to find that's red. That's not your chances. What you've got to do is you've got to take those dimes, cover all of North America, and stack them all the way to the moon. No, that's not the end of it. And then you've got to multiply that by 1,300 more American continents. That's what your chances are of having just the right gravitational pull that you and I take for granted every day. It's off the charts. It's uncomprehendable, right? But yet there are people who are saying that it could still, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. There's still a chance that there isn't a God behind this. That somehow it randomly happened. You know what it reminds me of? The movie Dumb and Dumber. Now, I'm not recommending the movie, so don't say when you leave here today, Pastor Jeff said that's the best movie there ever was. People have done that before. They've left here and said, he said it was the best. I'm not saying it was the best. But some of you millennials and others, you know the movie, right? I've never seen the movie, but I know a clip from the movie, and I want to show you. Now, I got to set it up. Lloyd Christmas... You're laughing, you've seen the movie. Lloyd Christmas is a limousine driver. It just so happens that Mary Swanson became one of his passengers. He falls in love with Mary Swanson immediately. Mary Swanson happens to leave by a briefcase full of money. So the essence of the movie is Lloyd Christmas and his cohort trying to track down Mary Swanson to give her back the money. When he meets up with Mary Swanson, when Lloyd Christmas meets up with Mary Swanson, this is a clip I want to show you. Go ahead, run the clip, please.
What do you think the chances are of a guy like you and a girl like me ending up together?
Well, Lloyd, that's difficult to say, and we really don't...
Hit me with it. Just give it to me straight. I came a long way just to see you, Mary. Just least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah!
What is she really saying? There's no chance, right? That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning, is that the chances of us being so finely tuned, things being so just right, and that all happening randomly, there's no chance. There's no chance. It's not possible. Right? This speaks to us. I started out sharing that verse with you, the glory of God. What I've just shared with you this morning is the glory of God. That's what I've told you. I've displayed. You know, there's two ways that you can magnify things. You can use a microscope and put something little underneath there and turn the little knob to get it to look bigger than it actually is. Or you can magnify something by using a telescope, which is something that you use that you can't see with your naked eye. But you tune it up to take that which is incredibly big and be able to begin to comprehend it. What I was trying to do this morning for you is look at things, look at the glory of God with a telescope to show you, try to bring it in a little bit closer so that you can see how incredibly He has wired things. How incredibly he has structured things simply for our survival. Hello? I mean, there is no chance. That's like trying to find that little dime out there in the middle of a sea of dimes that you and I can't even comprehend. The chances of just talking about the gravitational pull being just right. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And others, listen, even others who don't believe in God are having to come about this issue. They're having to come to terms with it. Let me tell, I'm almost done. Let me give you just a couple other things. A guy by the name of Freeman Dyson, not the guy that invented vacuum cleaner. This is a theoretical physicist. He says, as we look out into the universe and identify the many accidents, what? The many accidents of physics and astronomy that have worked together to our benefit, it seems almost as if the universe must have, in some sense, have known we were coming. I don't know. These are the smart folks. These are the smart ones. Really? These are the smart ones. Really smart. How about this guy here, right here, next one, please. George Greenstein. He says, as we survey all the evidence, the thought intensely arises that some supernatural agency must be involved. Hey, I'm thankful they're saying that, you know. This is my favorite, though. Listen to this. I love this one. Next slide, please. He said, for the science, this is Robert Jastrow. He said, for the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance and is about to conquer the highest peaks. And as he pulls himself over the final rocks, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. In the beginning, God, right? Right? I leave you with this verse, last verse, right here. David said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place. I thought that's interesting, set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? I mean, we were talking about healing and some things this morning here. And you know, I think sometimes we look at like cancer and we say, "Oh God, I don't know if you can do it." You know, can you? I don't know. That's big. That's really big. That's big. Come on. Come on. Listen. Just one touch. Just one touch. I'm trying to, over these weeks, we got one more week, but I'm trying to broaden your thinking, right? I'm trying to get our eyes off of the crises and the, you know, kind of in the minutiae of life. Just we're stopping and we're considering the wonders of God. We're thinking about, what is this thing that's going on around us that we're just kind of living life and not even paying attention to? And yet this morning I'm asking you to rethink how you see the moon when you look at it now. You look at the moon and say, I'm so glad you're there. It's helping me stay alive. The wonders of God. And listen, we were just looking at one aspect of it this morning, this idea of things being finely tuned. There's so many other things that, I mean, they're mind blowers, right? Pray with me if you would. Lord, as we see chaos in our world, And to be fair and honest, Lord, if we are transparent before you, we look at some of this and And, you know, fear starts to surface in our hearts. Wondering how all this is going to play out. And yet when we get out that telescope and we begin to see that you are in charge, you are in control, you've got this thing right where you want it, Lord, we are reminded that there is nothing to fear. You've got all things. All things, even how you've put together our atmosphere, how you've stuck us in our solar system, how you put us in the right place in our galaxy, Lord, you've got it all in control. It's truly a wonder, and it's utterly amazing. So, Lord, as we go about our journey, as we go about traveling and we're questioning, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know if there is a God. Would you just remind us of the moon again, would you? We see that sun up there. Just remind us of how you're deflecting. Every day you're deflecting the stuff we don't need away from us. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when we stop and we think about that in light of all the other stuff you've got going on that you're managing, the fact that you care for us the way that you do blows our minds. In fact, David also went on to write, he said, as far as the heavens are from the earth, and we don't even know what that is, you say, that's the measurement of your love for us. Whoa. That's amazing. So, Lord, as we navigate even this week in front of us, I pray that we would stop and consider you and your wonders to keep our minds in the right frame of mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.